They're never hitting a million, though.
Oh, I know, because then the smoothening.
The smooth one approaches.
Oh, everyone is doing such upsetting voices tonight, and I have headphones on.
Smooth must be all, and all must be smooth.
Here's the thing. If he has to get shaved, I will put him in a pool of Jell-O after it.
Okay, that's great, because that can happen at your house, and then I have to... Yeah.
But Spencer, you're like not super hairy except for the beard, right?
Yeah, I got a hairy chest.
You have very smooth legs already.
You have like weirdly hairless legs though, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's all pretty.
So we're like most benign of the way there already.
We started with the legs.
like were you dipped? Were you held by the shoulders and
oh my
dipped?
God, he got sheep dipped.
I did. I was sheep dipped by Hercules into a magical spring that only gave me a majestic beard and chest hair.
Is Spencer a tune? Get the dip.
Make him smooth.
I'll get you, Dabo. Because when you get me, I'll look just like this.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only podcast. If you want another one, that's too bad.
Damn. What a promotion that was.
Yeah, this is all you get, but we're going to give it to you. We're going to give it to you with all of the strength granted to us by College Football Jesus.
I don't want to be the only podcast.
It's too bad. That's the burden we're given. This is the cross we must bear.
No, you're the cross.
And on that cross is another cross on my back. So we're really all bearing my burden. Congratulations.
Are they all the same size, or are they getting smaller and smaller as they go up the stack?
It's just crosses all the way up.
So it's essentially one very, very deep cross, one very tall cross.
At the top of it, standing on top of it, is Greg Jennings. And what has he got? The team on his back.
But if on the top of it, like, is he running across like the whole series?
He's just perched. He's just holding the team carefully, like Atlas bearing the world.
Uh-huh. So atop these infinite crosses is Greg Jennings with
a
planet on him.
Yeah, and that's why this is the only podcast apparently.
Greg Jennings broke our leg for all of our sins, right?
Shit, is he the Silver Surfer?
He is. He's the Silver Surfer.
He's the Herald.
He broke our legs. Yes. Who broke his leg?
Sin.
That's right. You get it. All right.
Yeah. Like, we're joking. There's going to be a religion in 100 years based on that single clip.
What are you talking about?
There will be. Like, Greg Jennings, our Lord and Savior, who carried the whole team on his back. Dude.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's somebody out there right now who's still living off of screensaver money?
Ooh.
That's a really good question.
Like, do you think there's somebody who's like, yeah, this is my flying toaster's house. Like, just did well with that, managed my money well after that.
There was
never
a whole story about
money.
Flying Toaster Guy. Like,
really?
There was like a documentary about Flyer Toaster Guy. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
I invested wildly in email parachuting cow fight.
Yeah, I did Doom Tunnel. Doom Tunnel screensaver guy. He's got to be, you know, the turn, the brick wall, the turn, the brick wall. That guy's got to be loaded. So, yeah, I think it totally happened.
I hope he's doing well. Or she, whoever it is. I think it was a dude who was Flying Toaster Guy.
It was a guy's named Jack and Patrick. And I'm trying to find, but I know I saw something just a few years ago.
Okay. Because that was a thing. Like, people went to CompUSA, and they gave a CompUSA associate cash money for a CD of screensavers, and that was it.
Yeah, or you'd use like the ones with the little lines that would bounce back and forth.
Sure.
Or obviously the most fun one is when it's any object that's bouncing around and you just watch and watch until it perfectly bounces right into,
like,
a corner.
Yeah, and
you
just
watch that all day.
Get stuck there.
And like if you have two people around, you're like betting on when it'll happen next and cheering. The 90s were really exciting, y'all.
I think the point is that we
younger
all
listeners.
Led rich inner lives.
Yeah. And we were out, and we were outdoor kids.
Spent a lot of time on productive activities and studying homework. And is that what you do with homework? I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing in 32-bit. I'm killing every demon in hell with a shotgun. That's what I did.
Greg
in the
90s. Jennings is doing that, sir.
Yeah that's right.
Greg Jennings died.
And
well,
went to hell for
that's
us.
The only way to get to hell. That's the only way he could clear out hell for us.
No, he's part of the Space Marines. He was allowed to go by himself. He was allowed to go alive.
It's how
he
wanted to go into space.
By the way, the flying toaster screensaver was the topic of a lawsuit filed by Jefferson Airplane against Berkeley Systems, the creator of the flying toaster, because they said it resembled an element on one of their album covers. So they might not have made as much money.
Damn.
As you think so.
Fucking lawyers.
Fucking Jefferson Airplane. I'm sorry. You guys should.
You know what? You're right.
Else.
A lot of the time I look around at our society and I say, you know what's wrong here? Jefferson Airplane.
Man, they're called Jefferson Airplane, not Jefferson Toaster.
That's true.
They didn't even say that. That became Jefferson.
That's my whole argument as the defense.
Tap, 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 tap. Jason wins.
That's how court works.
Adjudicated. Court works exactly like Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. That's what everybody knows.
That's right. You yell objection.
Objection! Well, that's law.
Yeah.
I did want to give an update. Speaking of lawsuits and legal agreements and
this is gonna be
bonds,
a hairpin turn.
Bonds breaking and coming together and yet breaking again. I have really bad news. And like all bad news, I'm going to make Holly tell everybody the bad news about a good friend of ours, a friend of the podcast, someone who we admired and we discussed at length on this program. Holly Anderson, please tell us a little bit more about our good friend Dale McLaughlin, a.k.a. the jet ski Romeo of the Irish Sea.
Spencer, this is not even the most recent email you've sent me with the subject line saying love is dead, but it's definitely my favorite. On the rocks, says the Sun, jet ski Romeo splits from his lover just months after he was jailed over his Isle of Man voyage to see her.
Yeah, Dale McLaughlin. And his lover, who...
Friends have told the Mirror that the couple have split up more than 3 months after Dale made the perilous 27-mile trip on a jet ski.
Yeah, let me tell you, did you get to the part that was... You
Their
go,
reported breakup comes after Jessica was charged with an attack on another woman on the island.
Man, see, this is just getting more beautiful by the sentence.
Have y'all seen this... Man, I gotta tell you, this is definitely a Dale.
That's
have
a Dale. No, you name somebody Dale, they just look
guy?
Like that. That guy looks
that
like...
That is a born Dale. Dale has been banned from returning to the Isle of Man, so the Zach
nice try.
Approach.
Nice
because,
try.
Because look,
I believe
as, far,
in love.
As far as we know, the Isle of Man was like a perfect, peaceful ecosystem. And then jet ski Dale came in and upset the. He's like the kudzu of people.
As far as we know, it was boring.
How dare you bring kudzu into this? So anyway, last week the girlfriend appeared in court in her hometown, charged with actual bodily harm and 2 counts of causing criminal damage. She is also accused of breaking COVID lockdown rules. I'm kind of amazed these two couldn't make it work.
This rowdy. This is some rowdy ass people on the Isle of Man.
I think Dale is like kudzu because he just grows on you.
what I'm sort of think happened in this case is Dale might have grown on more than one lady on the island.
Dale would never, sir.
I'm just saying it's entirely possible that this man jet skied to the Isle of Man to cheat on a woman who was still on the island. That is an achievement of male stupidity that I can't assail as anything other than heroic in its idiocy.
Hang on. How do we know he only made one such journey?
We don't.
What if he had been doing this like for years and this is just when it came to light? And he's like, oh, yeah, I did that once. Yeah, it was crazy. The
like,
one time I did that.
Were you just keen to see a woman? He's like, can you be more specific?
Probably.
I didn't jet ski. It was a different watercraft. It was a powerful skiff. that I took across the troubled waters of the Irish
Sea. Yes, sir, why did you jet ski all that way to see a woman? Well, because my arms got tired.
This is just the old man in the sea, but with a human instead of a fish.
Horny man in the sea.
Way better than the old man in the sea.
What, sir? Are you? Do you consider yourself to be promiscuous? He's like, only on the Isle of Man. It's crazy.
It's called the Isle of Man.
I would like to add one quote from another story about this couple from the Sun. This is dated April 3rd. All right, hold on. People from Italy have sent pictures of jet skis saying, "This is for your boyfriend, showing our support."
I love it.
And my axe. In case he wears out that one, lending support to the cause.
This is for support because we believe in love.
People have got like a Facebook overlay photo of just a jet ski. Paradale. Paradale.
I want to know what other nations were sending. Spain was like, it's too far to go. That's far too much energy.
The Italians are like, he took a boat to go fuck a woman he never met. Of course. It's basically our national pastime.
You know, like he's getting, they don't mention the letters they're getting from Norway. They're like, you took a boat all that way and didn't burn a house down?
Twitter.
That just seems like a waste, doesn't it?
But he did break a home apart, as it turns out.
Oh, God. By the way, like the woman that she beat up, like suffered burns. It's like, good Lord.
So the Norwegians were there.
So wait, it said forehead. Yeah. It said forehead burns, and I'm unclear if that means like.
Oh, that's a cigarette. That's got to be a cigarette.
If it means a cigarette or it means she got like dragged across a carpet.
Cordless flat iron.
Okay. Every time I'm like, man, where did a lot of Southerners come from? I'm like, the British Isles. I'm going to put my cigarette out on that tramp's head.
Somebody actually had the nerve to ask us this week on Twitter what the Alabama of Ireland was. I'm like, have you not been listening to the show?
I mean, I was going to say, it's
we
actually...
We give and we give and we give.
I was going to say, it's actually in between Ireland and England, evidently. Whew. Yeah. So, sad update. Sorry, Dale. Sorry, Jessica.
Nah. Dale being single, that's not bad news. That's great news for us.
I mean, does Dale still have the jet ski? Because that man's a danger on several large land masses at this point. Go to Iceland. Find love in Iceland, Dale. Let's do it. Just gas that thing up.
I just picture I'm on a jet ski for 3 hours going to Iceland the whole time humming bum ba da bum 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 ba da bum 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 ba da bum 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 bum.
No, Dale is a man under 30 from the British Isles. He's just got nothing but some kind of like extremely goofy rap music playing, right?
Right, yeah.
In his headphones. Like he's got Man's Not Hot playing, right? The man's not hot. Could never be hot. He's like,
I mean, Isle of Man is about to be hot, is the thing.
Yeah. Evidently. I just see the sheriff being like, he's got these women riled up. Dale McLaughlin. Gotta get that man off this island.
Yep.
It's getting everybody too heated, too passionate. Gotta get back to the days where the most dangerous thing here are motorcycles going 220 miles an hour.
Dale McLaughlin, this court charges you with having a dick to bomb. How do you plead?
No contest, Your Honor.
Sounds like Judge Catfish back on the bench. What's he doing over here? Judge Catfish, what are you doing over here?
Tale as old as time. Dale must be released. Okay. Yeah, I did it.
No.
So,
Beast Stick was too bomb too.
Yeah. We have a little bit of podcast business to take care of.
We're in with the classic lady trap too of I can't read.
I can't read.
I can't read. And I stole your dad.
See, like Gaston only had half of that equation. Gaston's like, what? I'm a big dumbass, too. Oh, I forgot to steal your dad.
Stole your dad. I can change him. Oh, you dumb bitch.
But then
I don't like Gaston. He's already shaved.
I love Gaston. Oh, okay.
Yeah, to your point. Gaston's a cool guy. He's pretty nice most of the time.
He is cool. But Gaston's like, who was more popular in middle school? The guy who was like, yeah, I could spit really far.
Yeah.
Yes, I went to middle school. President right there. Come on. Yeah, that's class president. We do have a little bit of podcast business to take care of.
Ryan, was Caitlin in the Beauty and the Beast show that I was in? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Can you ask her? Is she there?
Hold on, I'll go ask. I'll be back.
Ask her. You guys
keep going, and then
stop Beauty and the Beast with us. This is important.
And then I will come back loudly.
Okay.
Podcast business. What's a business? Podcast business. It's a business of a business. Not legal, but it's kind of an LLC in a couple states.
Podcast business this week is the EDSBS Charity Bowl, the 2021 edition, where we have set an initial fundraising goal to
had.
In our effort to raise money for New American Pathways, our favorite refugee service charity here in Atlanta, Georgia. Great organization, wonderful cause dedicated to transitioning refugees from new arrival status toward thriving, healthy, happy Americans with excellent jobs and whose kids are all doing well in school and getting them set up for success as new Americans. We set an initial goal of $200,000, thinking, well, we might hit that if we do real well midweek, right? Which midweek, that seems like 3 days of intense promotion. We might get 200 grand. Holly, what's the total as of recording, which is Monday night around 10 p.m.?
I don't know.
No, yeah, just, yeah. You know.
$208,972.
Okay, so we're past 200K is what I'm saying. We've hit the initial goal.
Yeah, that is more,
yeah,
in my opinion.
That is, it's a judgment call. But yes, I would say it is also more than 200,000.
Sorry to be controversial.
Yeah. So the next goal is, 300K. Just see if we can hit it, just
all
for
right.
the heck of it.
Right.
There are a couple of spec bets, prop bets riding on this. If
I want to talk about the folks in the Discord who want to shave you.
Okay, which...
Like
I
Gaston.
Have to say, like Gaston.
No. I shut the laptop with a quickness tonight when I saw make him smooth.
It's very disturbing reading the phrase make him smooth.
I don't like it in there.
When it's in reference to you.
It. If you like that kind of thing, you can pay $3 a month and hang out with all these people.
Make him smooth. Yes, you can. Yeah.
I got headphones on, man. I can't get away from that. Stop it.
If the idea of saying make him smooth in reference to me is attractive to you, or if you just want to hang out with really fun people and talk about college football, religion, whatever, we got a spot for you
make religion
on
smooth.
The Moon Crew Discord, which you can subscribe to for just $3. A month.
I don't know where. We've been talking about it for 2 minutes and I haven't said where yet, but you'll figure it out.
Could God make a Spencer so smooth that even he couldn't look at him?
Oh, man. He'd look like one of those white beluga whales at the aquarium.
Mm-hmm. This clone
Spencer,
of Ripley is very sick.
Spencer, do you know if you were born smooth?
I cannot verify.
Call your mom.
I cannot verify, no.
Ryan is going to find information. Why can't you?
Oh, yeah. She was not in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
By the way, I don't think my parents were too broke for any photo that wasn't a daguerreotype at the time.
Mm-hmm. Is there a rubbing of you?
Yeah.
you got a cave drawing by
like
chance.
like a tree rubbing, you know.
Make did anybody rub smooth. You smooth?
Anyway, the point I was trying to make about Beauty and the Beast, I'm gonna steer this train back away from this to a completely other conversation that was also upsetting, is that the kid who was in this Beauty and the Beast show that I was in was playing LeFou, you know, Gaston's little sidekick.
Yeah.
And this was an American Idol heyday, right? And he sang LeFou's song like he was trying to get to Nashville on American Idol. And this is the only song he knew.
Respect.
And I can't drop my voice up there, but you really had to. He would get up there, and you know the song, right? The drinking song, the Gaston song? he'd get up on a table in his little breeches and shirt and be like, gosh, it disturbs me to see you, Gaston. And we would all just kind of stare around at each other. And nobody corrected him. He sang it that way through the whole show.
Trying to say he sang it like Clint Black.
Every guy here loved to be you, Gaston.
That
even when taking your lumps.
That boy, Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Hated him.
By the way, you can subscribe to the Moon Crew Discord for just $3 a month at patreon.com/mooncrew.
You had to look that up.
Of course I did, because I could get it wrong. That's why I look things up.
We also, I don't know if you said this while I was gone, preowndairboats.com for the duration of the Charity Bowl points you directly to the donation link. So that's where you can go to get in on the fun.
Yeah, you can also type in edsbscharitybowl.com. It will take you directly to the link. Or you can text CharityBowl21 to 91999 if you fools manage to raise $1 million. Which, again, I'm just scoffing because it'd be awful. But if you manage...
Please don't make me hang out with a shaved Spencer. He looks like Dilbert when he doesn't have a beard.
CharityBowl21 to 91999. If you raise $1 million, I'll shave the beard.
I don't want to see any more of him than I already have to.
Smooth
I
will shave. Operator. Smooth.
Can we? Okay, before we go full Dilbert, can we shave it into fanciful shapes, like
absolutely,
on the way down?
Yeah, no, yeah. You gotta listen. You've never gotten to do this. You get to shave it down into like fun, different styles.
No, I've never gotten to do that. That's
yeah,
can you put a stencil? Can you put a stencil over him and leave a block M?
Can we do ads?
Yeah, yeah, you can shave.
Oh, block M is a great idea.
For one of our major sponsors, I'll shave a damn.
Can we do a cartoon thing and like fire a hole through it? Ooh. You know, like
yeah.
hold it safely to the side.
Yeah.
I'm coming up
it into your bangs, but you're gonna let us do this.
I'm coming up to Kennesaw for that though. I'm gonna need people legally required to own guns.
Yeah, there's no guns in Atlanta.
Yeah, no.
200 update, $209,502.
God. Yeah. So thank you all for your charity and for the donations you will make later in the week
smooth.
When we resort to ever
smooth.
More extreme stunts to keep.
Smooth. Make him smooth.
Hashtag make him smooth.
No.
I would say make him smoother.
Ryan, can we buy makehimsmooth.com?
I'm gonna guess that's taken.
I bet it's not.
And here's the thing:
make him smooth, not .biz.
Just Google it.
I'm not finding out the hard way.
Did you mean make him smooth? No, I didn't.
I'm an idiot. I'm just go. Oh no! Oh!
Oh! Makehimsmooth.com available.
No,
we gotta get makehimsmooth.org.
Also available.
We should just.
I mean, get the .com.
Make a guy feel needed and wanted. Make him smooth.
.com for better for more authoritative
sure.
branding.
Sure.
You see, you know, you see dot info and it's
down
like
there like a Ken doll.
What a disturbing
melt his flesh back into his body.
What a disturbing website we could create that just had the like message make him smooth. How? Make him smooth.
Like Zombo, but make him smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just like make him smooth. Why?
If we say it enough, it's not gonna bother me anymore, so
he
just
will
keep
be,
saying it.
Life will be better and your family will be happier if you make
anything
him smooth.
Anything is possible with make him smooth.
Who is him? You know he.
Make him smooth.
The elder one.
The elder one. He's
he who is
the
lumpy.
Field. Make him smooth. Oh boy.
He who must be made smooth.
Once he is smooth, all will be smooth.
It's not working. The satiation's not getting good.
Imagine a world of smooth.
No.
Smooth world.
It's just got Japanese city pop. It's got like city pop behind it.
Whole
smooth ocean.
I have a good natural break right here, so I'll shave down to there.
Okay.
Yeah, so just below my Adam's apple.
Smooth the earth.
That's the terraforming we're actually going to do. We're going to try to do some dumb shit like fix the environment. Oh, fuck, yeah. We smoothed it all.
You won't give me a single one of your teeth, but you're going to let us terraform your
mountains
face.
Present
like entire planet exactly 5 feet underwater.
Yep.
Fuck.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're just gonna put a light coat of poly around the Earth, and it's gonna be fine.
Did we build an entire planet 5 feet underwater by accident, or did we make an outstanding wading pool?
Yeah, I mean that's basically what it is, and we'll put like blocks. That's what we'll stand on.
Mm. Ocean.
We'll just all carry around blocks.
Wait, I think we just invented Waterworld.
We did.
Fuck. We always invent Waterworld.
Smooth Waterworld.
Smooth world.
Mountains separate, smooth unites. Water.
Now this is just a Davidoff ad from the 90s.
Please smooth rise water. For our national anthem. Man, it's a hot one.
Like 60 inches from the ocean floor.
Oh, God.
It's just like the ocean covering the Earth because we made the Earth smooth.
Just like the ocean up to my chest.
But only your chest. No higher.
But my chest is so smooth.
So smooth.
Because the constant salt water has scoured away all texture on my body.
Sin and hair have been removed. All is smooth now.
Thank you, Greg Jennings.
Thank you, Greg Jennings,
for going to hell to kill Satan and making it smooth.
Thank you all for smooth. Getting rid of the textures, which were what the sin was all along.
That's the
polygons all over the place.
The bitmap must be smoothed.
Finally, in our new two-dimensional Earth, I no longer covet my neighbor because I cannot tell where my neighbor is.
All is smooth.
All is at last.
Who has not looked at the
Kyrie's
mighty?
Like a word.
Here in the smooth heaven and the smooth earth, I see the smooth Jerusalem descending from the sky.
I mean, do you realize?
Just smoothalum.
This is already a Midwesterner's idea of paradise. This is basically the world.
Well, you drive about 50 hours in that direction, and then there's nothing you can see, but then you turn.
God, I'm gonna tell you, Sue. It'll be great. We'll take the kids.
We'll see. Look, cows' heads poking out of the water.
Look, it's all smooth. This is great. You can put a grill up here. Yeah, that's right, Sawyer.
You know they got to stack the cows on top of each other so they can sun them for a while.
Yeah, you get a little worn up here on my shoulders. We're going to put a grill in the back of this cow carcass.
Oh, there goes Dale McLaughlin, the king of smooth, on his jet ski.
Smoothest man. They say this is all his idea.
Dale, buddy, just hang in there. You are going to rule in the aftertimes.
Actually, Dale might hate it because there's no island to get to.
That's true. There's no island.
He's
where
just cursed to run. That
true.
Man is the...
Oh, my God. He becomes our Sisyphus. Sisyphus.
He's the ghost rider of
he's
this
He's the
world.
Flying Dutchman now, cursed to roam the seas forever in search of one lady on an
too
island.
Too smooth.
It's too smooth. His pants are on fire.
That just makes him a better myth. There's an element of cautionary tale.
Yeah, you'll see him. He's a
don't be smooth
as
that guy. He's the Icarus, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's the one who flew too smooth.
Yeah.
God, it sucks that this is the only.
We can just stop talking about that.
It really sucks that this is the only podcast.
You'd think there'd be more.
That's such a fucking shame.
I disagree. We've solved all the world's problems.
We smoothed it down to just the one. You're right.
Until then, I think you're probably going to need to go ahead and make some investments until the smooth revolution makes us. I think you're going to need to put a little money in the piggy bank, and you might need a little help doing that. Am I right, Jason?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I wouldn't assume what our listeners' finances are like. They're probably incredible. But just
evidently,
there's only one podcast, so it's not like they're getting investment advice anywhere else. But since that duty falls to us, I'm going to advise you to go to acorns.com/fullcast, where you can begin with a free $5 boost, your world-smoothing terraforming fund. And what will happen is every time you purchase, say, scuba gear or some nice boots that will make you taller once the ocean is 5 feet deep everywhere, those nickels and dimes from those purchases rounded up will go into your Acorns account, along with whatever money you decide to throw in here and there, and that gets invested in stuff. As markets go up, your line goes up, the ocean goes up, and eventually you can afford a one of those little beach houses that are on stilts. I'd like one of those anyway.
Honestly. A smooth home.
I want a floating orb.
You mean floating a smooth orb. Home? Yeah.
A smooth yurt.
Smoothness.
You want the smoothest home, an orb.
Oh yeah, a water yurt is circular above and below.
Wow. I would have ruled the world from an enormous one of those pillows that you jump off of, like the inflatable pillows where somebody's sitting here, like giant 30-foot inflatable pillows.
You mean like in the very first Digital Viking, the 20-foot diameter floating trampoline that could be towed behind a boat?
Yes, but I want the one where you jump on one side and you...
You want the one that's like a beanbag.
Yeah, that's like a beanbag and you get shot up the other end. That's how we send people to Greg Jennings heaven.
This is what court is in Smooth World.
Yes, that's correct.
Mount the pillow. The pillow shall judge you.
Or do we, when we have two litigants, do we drop them both on and whoever bounces
that's right.
gets yes. bounced off is,
exactly.
is
whoever gets
guilty?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's just go back to how we figured out who was witches.
Let's let the double bounce decide.
It's salt water, so they got a handicap.
Yeah.
All will be
by
smooth.
By the way, this week at my Acorns early account, the lead that my eldest has on my younger child has increased because evidently at one point my younger child has embezzled another dollar out of the account.
Talk about smooth shit. This kid is fucking just siphoning money off and we're talking about it and you can't stop him.
You can't figure out how to stop it. You can't plug the leak.
I mean, some people talk about their children being a slow gas leak in their house, asphyxiating all their finances. Mine are literally that.
One of them
by a dollar this
Once
week.
Again, I encourage you all to rob Spencer if you can, because apparently it's pretty easy.
Yeah,
that's another good financial plan.
An 8-year-old has siphoned another dollar away from me, thanks to the joy of acorns.com. And I have to say, that's an excellent use of the app, because you know what? He's got to worry about his own business, man, and he's taking care of it. And I'm proud of him for that.
Oh, the smooth earth has no time for family bonds.
All is one. All is smooth. Smooth is family.
Hello. Somebody says flat earth and you say moron. They say smooth earth and you say
yes.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Come right with us. We have a community for you. You are no longer lonely. Let us discuss how the earth is already smooth. They want you to believe mountains are real.
They're not.
You know what's real? Marbles.
It's perfectly smooth.
Who hasn't looked at the Rocky Mountains and thought, I
bullshit.
Wish those were smooth? Yeah.
get that shit out of my sight.
Get that shit out of my face.
You can't fool me. I'm going to walk right through it.
That looks so much better 3 feet under the water of an eternal ocean lining the entirety of the earth.
I just want to live on the wave planet from Interstellar. I think that's what we've designed here.
Yes.
Really?
Time
like,
goes fast, so we'd be dead in a hurry.
Yeah, you get it knocked out real quick.
That's also, by the way, turning the entire planet into one huge wave pool.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Erosion smooth as shit.
Do you know what Dale McLaughlin's been doing? Surfing
Erosion
that one
is
wave.
Our friend. Erosion is just trying to make the earth smooth for
Erosion
us.
Hastens
Love
the smoothening.
Erosion.
Yes.
Tonight, before we solved all of Earth's problems by making all smooth, I did want to talk about being petty, because this week I read...
Yeah, we got to get that all out of our systems before the smoothing comes.
That's true, because after that...
Listener, this is the part
petty.
Where the episode begins. You've gone on a long journey of prologue to arrive to this point. Congratulations.
Minute 42.
So,
52.
I did a bit on Bomani Jones' excellent podcast, The Right Time, about Caine Mutiny, which is Bruce Feldman's book.
You
about
just admitted there's another podcast.
It's,
Jesus
no, I didn't.
Christ.
I
this
didn't.
Is why you'll be
and more interested in hearing about how he feels about his Ed book, but go off.
This is why you will be pumiced down in the smoothening.
Spencer, you said no, I didn't. Can you expound on that?
I will not. So
damn. Now that was smooth.
That is smooth. Yeah, that's right. I control the horizontal. I control the vertical. When I say something isn't, and then I say it is, the combination of those two things equals a perfect smoothness. That's right. And for any of y'all who completely understand that and don't question it at all, your brain's already well on the way to smooth. Congratulations. So this week I did something on Bomani Jones' Right Time on the podcast where we did the intro to Caine Mutiny. I didn't.
Wow.
And we talked about Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, one-time coach of the Cowboys, one-time coach of the national champion Miami Hurricanes, one-time coach of Oklahoma State, coached the Dolphins, and then spent a year after retiring without wearing shoes. Jimmy Johnson is one of the greatest men to ever live because he spent a year in the Keys without ever putting on a pair of shoes after he hit his big quitting time. That is a career goal. That is a life goal. If you don't understand it, turn this podcast off right now. It's not for you. If you're vibing with it, okay, you found the right tribe. You're here with us right now, okay? Jimmy Johnson, in this snippet from when he was at Miami, is depicted as a master manipulator. By that, you mean kind of a sociopath. He's the kind of guy who... The kind of guy who, when Michael Irvin stabs somebody with scissors...
Oh, right, that.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's too bad. He's first string. Sorry. That's our starter. And kind of lets it go. And then eventually releases the other guy. That's the kind of sociopath that he had to be to succeed. Johnson is described as a master manipulator, but that's not what this sounds like. This sounds like a man who is well-versed and is an experienced practitioner in the art of petty. How petty? Well, I'm about to share it with you. So Johnson was from Arkansas. Frank Broyles, great coach at Arkansas, longtime athletic director with slightly different results as the guy in charge. Frank Broyles said that by far Jimmy Johnson was the smartest player he ever coached. Jimmy Johnson had a 162 IQ. Jimmy Johnson is just a flat, brilliant dude. Jimmy Johnson also has a mean streak a mile wide and did not forget when he was slighted. In 1983, Frank Broyles passed on Johnson as a head coaching candidate and hired another former Arkansas Razorback, Ken Hatfield. Ken Hatfield. He ended up coaching the program.
Counterpoint. Hen Catfield.
Hen Catmeat.
Way more interesting.
Ken Hatmeat. When Ken Hatfield got that gig.
Cat Henpeck.
I like that too. Johnson got the Canes job. And then what did Jimmy Johnson immediately do after taking the Miami job?
Shame.
Murdered Ken Hatfield.
So to speak. Yes, so to speak. Because he scheduled Arkansas for a home and home. And against an eventual 9-3 Arkansas team in 1987 in Little Rock, the Canes went up there and they beat the hell out of them, eventually winning the game 51-7. And the players gave Johnson the ball.
Goodness, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. They gave him the ball. That's how petty he was. The minute he got the Canes job, he's like, you know who we need to put on the schedule? Why don't we put Arkansas? Hey, Jimmy, what's the historical rivalry or the national importance? The significance of playing the Arkansas Razorbacks? Don't ask! Just do it! Put them on the schedule! Must burn! That was all he wanted. He just wanted to go in and burn their house down.
Into a smooth pit.
Into a smooth, even ash pit.
Was this
That's
a
what he did.
Good Arkansas? And
9-3.
Okay.
Yeah. They ended up being 9-3.
Betty took offense to that.
Yeah, Betty was like, why are you shit-talking Arkansas? Yeah, they were 9-3.
That was Betty saying, a record alone is no indicator without strength of schedule and advanced metrics.
This game got...
She's a hound, man. She was just saying they cheating.
Yeah. This game got Ken Hatfield into trouble twice, once when he lost it, and the second time when on the coach's show, as he traditionally opened each show with a Bible verse, Ken Hatfield chose Jesus Wept.
How'd that get him in trouble?
Frank Broyles did not like that. Doesn't like you toying with the Lord and mocking Arkansas football and vice versa. So he got in trouble twice for that. Jimmy Johnson would go on to win the Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. Ken Hatfield did. Ken Hatfield did not. So
Yet.
Could Buddy, if anybody was going to win at the age of 78, might be somebody who just goes and coaches Arkansas for a year.
So how about the next year, 88, the other leg of that home and home, when Arkansas rolls into Miami at, they are 10-0,
mm-hmm.
and then loses by 2 points.
scares the crap out of them. Like, fair play to Arkansas for doing
but
that.
But I think that's
right?
That's like just as frustrating as getting, you know, getting your ass kicked. Getting your ass kicked by 80s Miami. Okay, that happens. Almost beating 80s Miami to hit 11-0 entering bowl season. Oh, that sucks, Arkansas.
That was probably all part of the plan too, right? See Jimmy Johnson being like, "What would hurt him most? I've done the research, and data says that losing by 2 points would be most damaging to the Arkansan psychology here."
Jimmy said, "Oh, I'll make Jesus weep."
By the way, Ken Hatfield's wiki photo definitely looks like somebody who's slightly confused that he coached Arkansas. Just like it's him as Rice head coach going, "How did this happen?"
He was one of two Clemson coaches to leave for Rice. That has happened twice all time. To just up and leave Clemson for Rice.
Yeah, which, by the way, Ken Hatfield was great at Arkansas. He's good. His worst season was 7-4-1, right? He had three 10-win seasons, two 9-win seasons. And then, like a wise man, what did he do? He got the hell up out of Arkansas before something bad happened to him. Because that's what happens to all Arkansas head coaches eventually. Nothing good. Something weird's going to happen to you. So he went to the low-pressure job of Clemson? Okay, maybe that wasn't super advisable. But anyway, not a slouch that, you know, was getting all of this taken out on him. But it made me think of other petty. It did not make you just think of other petty, though, Jason. It made you think about Arkansas petty specifically.
Well, we got more Arkansas football stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Brett Bielema first.
Sure.
Like Brett Bielema being like the king of minor petty, which you don't really think about it till you go back to the fossil record and realize that Brett Bielema went for two while beating Indiana by like 50 because, and I quote, "That's what the card said."
And then what did he do? So at Arkansas, it was Texas Bowl against the Longhorns, and he was like throwing the hook 'em the whole time, right?
Yeah.
And that was where borderline erotic came from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas shutting down Texas. This man just up and decided he hated Texas.
Also, Brett Bielema tripped a wire when he used a dumb kickoff rules back in.
This is my personal favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, back in 2006.
Back when we didn't know what kind of person Brett Bielema was, but we didn't really know what kind of a person Joe Pob was either. We were just faintly irritated by him. And ooh-wee, did he get mad.
Yeah, because the NCAA had decided that...
It was 06 or 09?
06. Yeah. The clock was going to start when you kicked the ball
Rule
on kickoff.
Rule 325C.
Yeah, only lasted a season, but...
Why?
Because... With 23 seconds left in the first half against Penn State, Wisconsin kicked off, and he told his players to intentionally go offside. Not once. Not twice. No. Twice.
Well, twice.
Twice. And on the sidelines, the coach that he pissed off, and because he just did this kind of stuff, he had to be cartoonishly visible about it. Joe Paterno's on the sidelines going, Why do you kick the ball with it?
Joe Paterno, also known as Joe Pesci, as we all remember.
Yeah!
He's so mad, man.
Joe Pesci
I swear
on
it,
a chipmunk's turntable.
Yep. I swear it sounded like that.
Christmas. Why are you kicking the ball?
I hate this voice. I thought I hated Ricky Gervais, but I really hate this one.
He's writing blood from a nasty waking sky.
You know, now I don't feel bad that we buried the actual episode 42 minutes here. And
what episode?
Oh.
Yeah, now I feel bad that we're the only podcast.
Yeah.
There really should be another one.
Strange.
Love Slayer.
The only winning move is not to press play.
Only winning move is not to pod.
Only winning move is not to talk about the actual end of Joe Paterno's career, isn't
it? Not pod.com.
So, yeah, He did that.
That's not taken either, huh?
Yeah. Also, Bielema went for two at the end of another blowout win against over Minnesota and got into a tussle with Tim Brewster. Which, that's got to be fun.
Which, that lingered all the way through their various careers in the SEC and ACC. So there was also, on the field, there was the Houston Nutt versus Hugh Freeze saga that played out over to the Houston Nutt's.
God, that's beautiful.
10-year gambit to take down Hugh Freeze that worked when basically they dumped public documents back and forth. Yeah.
Because what did
because
Houston
Nutt, die by the FOIA, you live by the FOIA.
Because what happened to Houston Nutt when he was at Arkansas? Houston Nutt got his phone FOIA'd, all right? And it revealed a lot of personal calls. And Houston Nutt remembered this. So what happened to Hugh Freeze when
Houston
he was at Ole Miss?
Learns.
Yeah, he's a learning machine. When you think learning machine, think Houston Nutt.
This is right? The worst Star Wars saga ever.
We trained an AI Houston Nutt and made him watch 1 million dumb things football coaches do. And then we pointed him at Hugh Freeze.
Going to start the world's dumbest computer company, and it's going to be in Arkansas. And we're going to, instead of Watson, we're just going to name the computer Houston. And it's going to have the same voice.
Hateway computers.
Here's what you do to get someone fired from a football coaching job. You FOIA their phone records.
Yeah,
thank
I'm just
you,
trying
Houston.
To open Excel. Sorry.
No.
This is Clippy Houston Nutt. I'm here to tell you how to fuck
Clippy,
up Ole Miss.
Clippy Nutt.
It looks
like you're trying to get somebody fired, huh? Hey, brother.
Can I help you put sugar in someone's gas tank?
Can I what?
Clippy
looks,
Nutt don't
hey,
help.
Looks like he you helps. Need some heppin'.
That's right. There it is.
Can I help you with that? Need some heppin'?
So he was the one who eventually got Hugh Freeze's phone records FOIA'd.
Hey, it looks like you're trying to apply for the Nevada job. That job's not even open. Good, because I got dibs on it.
That wasn't the one where he's like sneaking through the fucking rafters to apply at UConn, just like dropping down.
USF.
Yes, USF. I think he just showed up and they were like, we didn't even ask you to be here.
I mean, I think we might both be right is the thing. Like, I don't think it's either UConn or USF.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all, listen, the sad thing is that if somebody just hired him, they'd win 10 games.
It'd be
don't
fine.
Don't ask how. It just happened.
Yeah. I mean, they'd win 10 games 1 year to the next. But, I mean, isn't that more fun than winning six both years?
I had somebody today, an Illinois fan, lay on the darkest, funniest, most self-aware comment I have heard about one's own fandom in a real long time. They donated $37.39 to the charity bowl, and it was, hey man,
Jesus hey, Christ, hey, man. Love yourself.
And
love yourself just a little. Because
he was like,
nope. Sometimes
like,
what the fuck?
Sometimes healing is making amends.
I don't feel
okay?
good about this. I don't feel good about taking this person's money.
I picture that scene in The Green Mile when he's just vomiting up flies.
No, it was, I'm sorry, far more charitable. It was Ryan Ames, R.D. Ames, and I don't want to short him. He actually gave $97.99, and the reason he gave $97.99 was this. To celebrate Brett Bielema's career wins coming into Champaign and the career wins with which I reasonably expect him to leave.
So I was saying at 37.39.
A difference of two.
I was thinking 37.39 was some losing score for Illinois that we were celebrating because it was so very close to a win.
No, he's like, this dude is already like, well, Brett Bielema's going to win two games in his entire tenure in Illinois. Oh. And I was like, bet. That's
damn.
About right.
That's even sadder than what I thought it was.
Two games. And I was like, yeah, brother. That's probably about right. Oh, that's one of the few jobs where if you said, well, he came in with 97 wins and he left with 93, I wouldn't question it. Like, they just somehow took games off his record, being Illinois' head coach. I wanted to hear from...
So,
you have a non-football Arkansas
well,
story,
so
right?
Speaking of Arkansas, all right. Speaking of beef, okay. We've been talking about beef on the football field, and we've been talking about, you know, beef between Jimmy Johnson and the state and all that. But let's talk about actual beef, the cattle industry, okay? How familiar are we with the tick war?
Not at all.
Sorry, did you mean William Shatner's tech war?
No, I didn't.
Huh.
I meant tick war.
I'll go on mute then.
Huge nerd.
If you can stick around, if you make like tick noises. So around the turn of the century, 1900s to be exact, the ticks were a big problem, the cattle. And they're quarantining cattle within, you know, within states and within counties. The government's like, we got to get a hold on this. All the southern cows are too skinny and gross and disgusting. And that should be, you know, that should be where the big fat cows are. Everything's wrong because of the ticks. Ticks are ruining the American cattle industry. And there's this long, long, long process of dipping cows to get the ticks off their bodies.
Oh, yeah, like sheep dip, yeah.
Yeah, and the process that the government came up with was they're going to install these concrete vats to walk cows through. And they divided up the country, and they're going county by county by county, and they got records that show, like, okay, this year we made it through, you know, X square feet of Georgia, X square feet of Alabama, et cetera, et cetera. It took, like, 40 years to cleanse the South of all its nasty, tick-ridden cows. Most southern ranchers and farmers went along with this. Like, great, I'd rather have healthy, fat cows than sick, gross, skinny cows. But the South is the South.
Anyone else? Because it definitely doesn't sound familiar to me.
It went on for, like, there's so much history on it. I had never heard about it till today. But can you guess which three states were most ornery about putting up with the government coming in and cleansing the cows?
Tennessee.
Texas.
No.
Arkansas.
No. Yes.
Louisiana.
Arkansas.
No.
Missouri.
Florida.
No. No.
Kansas.
No.
Okay, apparently we can't guess.
You've guessed all around. Alabama and Georgia are also in the top three.
I think of Georgia
calculated
as being a big cattle state, I guess.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
So I calculated that based on a key paragraph in the USDA report on this entire history. It's a 400-page report. I didn't read the whole thing. I just control F for the word dynamite, which appears 113 times. Between just April 13th and May 30th, 1919, a total of 72 cattle dipping vats were dynamited in Arkansas.
Yes.
Arkansas just fucking had it, and they were just blowing these tick dipping vats up. This was the worst period of destruction of vats. that's just one glimpse, just one window, because in particular Alabama, Georgia, and Arkansas, these things were just blowing up left and right. And like, you look at American history, and it's like, okay, like the 30s there's a depression, 40s there's war, what were we doing in the 20s? This is what we were doing in the 20s. We're blowing up shit that was meant to take the ticks off of cows. That's how we spent our time.
From the farmers, indeed.
That's right. That's where that rivalry. So World War One ends. And we got to do something with all our explosives. That's where they go, to blow up Arkansas.
Fair enough.
I swear to God, everyone in that state has 15 squirrels.
There is a still unsolved murder of a county cattle investigator. His name is Charles Jeffrey. Multiple, and all this is Arkansas.
Spencer, it's a war. He
was
die.
Wait, you're telling me Steak Rancher was a real person?
Yeah, well, that might have been who got him, but we never found him. We never found the guy who, quote, this is from Arkansas Times, hidden assassin fired a shotgun from the woods. So, like, shotguns don't shoot super far. This isn't a sniper situation. Like, this guy's, like, 15 feet away.
Carrying a potted ficus in front of him.
Yeah, that's like, this is the worst sniper ever. Like, somebody's like, the stealth. I've drank my own piss for the last 3 weeks trying to get a shot. Blam! Like a ninja, I received in the woods.
I got snow in my mouth, door. so we won't see my breath.
Don't be putting in a barn door. Jokes on you.
Silent as death itself.
There were multiple barns burned down. This was an awful time to be a county cattle assessor Arkansas. Also, Oklahoma was bad. There was a whole anti-dipping association. Oklahoma got political about it, but Arkansas just took it all out with dynamite.
Y'all don't make it this easy. Don't be like, so they actually killed people because they didn't want to give something a bath.
It's my right to get ticks.
I want my filthy bug infested beef. I want it
live
now.
Free or
so the slight, you know, the reason you could understand the Arkansas frustration is like, this isn't like ranching country. This is like a farmer with two cows, you know, the cows are there for milk. Right. And if the cow is disgusting and skinny, then, well, the milk's still going to come out fine. There might be might be a little lumpy with ticks in it. But that was why Arkansas was so mad. Is like,
lumpy
we're not
tick milk.
Yeah, just strain it through a strainer. It's fine.
I like my cows pre-jerkied.
It's like, do you want ice cream with sprinkles on it? Right.
Oh, that's how they invented ice cream, because they had to strain milk on account of the ticks.
I just got an idea for raisin bread, y'all.
See, like, this is also proving one of my points, which is that
if you say the fucking thing about raisin bread, I swear to God.
No, at one point in this country's history, it was far too easy to get dynamite.
Apparently.
This is great. I disagree. This is all great.
Now, tannerite, that's another thing altogether. Oh God, Ryan.
Wait, no, Jason or. Is there more?
There's a lot more, but that's where we're gonna cut it short there for the time being.
We'll come back.
Remember, there are 110 mentions of dynamite that I didn't even get to.
To be clear, Spencer, I want you to rethink when you're saying that it was too easy to get explosives. I want you to think how many times you've seen a story where it's like multiple people killed at gender reveal.
Every day in this country, there's some headline like "fucking idiot blows up house."
Yeah, this problem is not gone away; it's just changed.
It's just named after Nevaeh now.
Now you see, we're gonna blow up that cow, and if the guts are blue, it's a boy, and if they're pink, it's
blue,
a girl.
It's Mackenzie Grace. If the guts are green, it's Mackenzie Grayson.
It's Grace.
If the guts are blue, the cow was a boy.
Everybody in that state got 15 squirrels for a brain. Ryan?
Yeah.
How did the Fiesta Bowl start, and why was it so petty?
Okay, so the short version is that before Arizona and Arizona State were going to play the 1968 Territorial Cup, this is when they were both in the Western Athletic Conference before they jumped to the Pac, I think it was the Pac-8 they were joining at the time. They both had very good records on the season, and the winner was going to go to the Sun Bowl, one of the oldest bowls at the time, and since. And neither team had been to a bowl game in, like, I don't know, 15 years or some shit like that. Now, Arizona had the better record, but was basically worried that they were going to lose to Arizona State. So before the game, Arizona's coach, Daryl Mudra, called the Sun Bowl, and he said, "Listen, you have to invite us to the game now, no matter what happens, or if we win, we will refuse to come. Like, this is the ultimatum I am giving you. If you want Arizona to play in the Sun Bowl, we have to be offered it now, regardless of the outcome of the game." And the Sun Bowl said, "Okay, yeah, like, we don't want to be in a position where we can't get one of the big schools from in the state to come. So yeah, we'll let that happen." Arizona State finds out about this, obviously, and then they beat Arizona 30-7 in what Arizona State head coach Frank Cush called the probably his most satisfying victory ever. But bowl wise, it still went in Arizona's favor. 8-2, Arizona went to the Sun Bowl. 8-2, Arizona State, who had just beaten the Wildcats, did not get a bowl bid at all because there weren't all that many bowls at the time. Because of this, basically, Arizona State's having their, like, postseason banquet. and the president of the school is there and Booster's there and shit like that. And they're basically like, you know what? We should host a, we should like start our own bowl game so that the Western Athletic champion will automatically get in, which Arizona State was. They were the WAC champion by virtue of beating Arizona. And they said like, let's just make this happen. And that's how they built the Fiesta Bowl, so that they could have a bowl to stop getting screwed over. Because they, like, the WAC had already had a very bad history of, like, having strong champions that, because they weren't regarded as a particularly, as one of the top conferences, somebody would get picked over them. And that's how, out of spite and anger over Arizona fuckery, Arizona State helped give birth to what ended up becoming a BCS bowl and a host of several national championship games.
A beautiful thing born of spite. I love it. I also love that if you search Frank Cush Field, which is the field at Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona, the first photo you get of Frank Cush Field is a shot from the stands, obviously open source from a fan, of heavy fireworks smoke over Frank Cush Field. Thank you, Internet. You never fail. I wanted to tell the epic story of one man and his hatred of a goatee. And that's one that I know a lot of people on this podcast love, which is the story of how much Paul Johnson absolutely hates Brian Van Gorder.
Buddy, he's got company in that.
Oh my God, does he?
But I think we got to turn the mic over at this point.
So, yeah. Paul Johnson was a very successful coach at Georgia Southern. Let me state for the record, by the way, first of all, that Georgia Southern, great football program. Great. Demonstrably great. There's no shame in losing to them. They're amazing. Champions at multiple levels. Incredible tradition. All hail Irk Russell's hallowed grounds in Statesboro. That said, Brian Van Gorder, who you may remember as, I don't know, defensive coordinator at Louisville, Georgia, and other stops where he was thrown aside and not missed at all. Yeah, Brian Van Gorder was the head coach at Georgia Southern in 2006. And in 2006, Brian Van Gorder decided to advertise his revolutionary non-triple option offense by saying that there was no option. That appeared on the poster on the advertisement announcing Brian Van Gorder's appearance in Statesboro, Georgia. Brian Van Gorder.
There was no option. We have to amputate.
that ended up being a great
message there. I love it. I personally love it.
Yeah. Brian Van Gorder managed to alienate everyone in the city of Statesboro to the point where he only spent a single season there after trashing the triple option. Which, by the way, anybody could tell you that if you went down to Statesboro, Georgia and said, yeah, we ain't running the option no more, that wasn't really something you could do. It's just not. Like, they'd run it since the 80s and before, some version of it well before the version Johnson had been installed in the 80s and was wildly successful there. You weren't going to get away with anything else. And even if you did, you'd have to basically Trojan horse it in as change. So, Brian Van Gorder goes down there. He absolutely bombs, goes 3-8, has the worst record in, like, modern Georgia Southern football history, and he's out. So wheel turns. Paul Johnson is the Navy. Paul Johnson goes to Georgia Tech. Paul Johnson's Georgia Tech team meets Louisville, all right, in the year 2018, and after multiple attempts at multiple stops to schedule Brian Van Gorder and Georgia Southern, or a Brian Van Gorder team, they finally meet organically. And what happens? That's right. After avowing that he wanted to beat the hell out of Brian Van Gorder several years earlier, Georgia Tech beats Louisville 66-31 with 542 yards rushing. 542 yards and 28 first downs. Just leisurely strolling down the field and going. When asked about it and why they put up 542 rushing yards. Was this in Atlanta? No. This was in Louisville. This was at the big oven. This was at Papa John's Stadium. When asked why they had piled up 542 yards, Paul Johnson said, just execute the offense.
Do you know the one detail that makes this even better?
Please.
Is that this was, I think it was the second time that Johnson had faced Van Gorder. So there was, I think, so when Van Gorder was at Notre Dame, I don't know if they met then, but I know one year Georgia brought in Van Gorder as like an option guru, like a guy who could help them defeat the option. And it's like, yeah, he did that, but he did it as the head coach, right? So like Georgia brought in Van Gorder as like a defensive consultant, and
then what?
Well, his time handling the option went about as a par for the course, because Georgia lost to Georgia Tech's triple option that year, and I'm looking at it was 2016. It was 2016 that happened, and then 2 years later was when PJ left, no doubt.
66-30.
Something, okay. Did any of y'all keep up with his more recent career moves?
No.
Which, by the way, if you open up this guy's wiki page, his coaching career page takes up an entire page. I mean, the sidebar unit takes a page to scroll through. because 2019-2020... he was at Bowling Green as the defensive coordinator.
Didn't go great.
Does anybody? Well, before we get there, in the Scott Loeffler era, does anybody want to know who the offensive coordinator was?
I know this was an all-star coaching staff. I just don't remember exactly which guy this was.
I don't remember either. I'm just kidding. Anyway. He is now at Gulf Shores High School with Mark Hudspeth, which, if you know how Hudspeth ended up washing out of his most recent college job, is funny. But what I did not know until researching Brian Van Gorder tonight was that he announced his retirement from college coaching before he or during or after he got down to Gulf Shores. Man, I don't know.
How's
it
going?
So I think the other funny coach on that staff was Carl Pellini, very briefly.
Yes, it was.
So,
yes, it was.
Woo!
That is a group. That's a fun
Cato
group.
Also, Cato June for a minute.
Goodness.
Yeah. All are welcome. All are welcome.
Apparently.
At this smooth Bowling Green.
The home for
that needs to be smooth if you want to bowl on it.
That's right.
Man, I'd go coach at Gulf Shores High School. That sounds great.
It sounds like the most amazing scam of a job.
I do hope Hudspeth and Van Gorder are living in a van together. I hope they're like, we don't need a house.
Do they call it the Van Gorder?
Yes, the Van Goer.
That is right.
By the way, can I give you a great quote from Scott Loeffler at Bowling Green, which is an all-time coach speak. Scott Loeffler, I'm not going to use Bowling Green. Win, leave, and watch this place go to hell. No, Scott.
No, Scott. No.
This reminds me, I don't know.
He promised
Do
to never
know
leave.
Scott Loeffler went to Michigan? We don't talk about that enough.
No, we don't talk about that.
So he was saying he was not going to like get Bowling Green to the, to a Peach Bowl or whatever, and then abandon them when they need him most.
With a 2-year record of 3-14. No.
So what he was saying is that they're stuck with me for a really long time.
Holly, yeah, did you hear who the new coach at Tennessee State is going to be?
Yes, I did. Eddie George.
And did you hear who he's bringing with him?
I sure did.
I did not.
He's just going to be an advisor. He's not going to be there.
That's right, which means he has no responsibilities and more time to cruise.
Thank you.
Is it Jeff Fisher?
Yes,
it's
it
Jeff
is.
Yes!
Oh my. I will be in my bunk.
Oh, my God. If they go 6-6, I am going to die.
Fuck. Jeff Fisher just strolling around Belle Meade with shorts with no underwear on. Oh my god.
Hey, anybody know where I could get some lotion?
Jeff Fisher at the Puffy Muffin? Are you fucking kidding me?
Jeff Fisher, get over here and puff my muffin.
Oh, God. Speaking of revenge.
What happens if you just Twitter search Scott Leffler, Brian Van Gorder?
That's it's a Keymaster gatekeeper sitch.
It is.
And then the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man throws for 400 yards on Bowling Green's defense.
Don't forget, by the way, this is the second time Scott Leffler and Brian Van Gorder tried to do this double act because Gene Chizik brought them into Auburn.
That makes, see, when you say that, I'm like, oh, Gene Chizik really did want to retire. Mm. He just didn't know it yet.
I'm not so. Here's the, oh wait, never mind. There's a line on Leffler's wiki that Leffler was linked to the vacant positions at Alabama, LSU, and Wisconsin. OC is the key term in there. But even that is weird. Yeah. Even that is weird.
Yeah. I just want you to know that 12 years ago, Scott Leffler was hired to do one thing at the University of Florida, and that was to fix Tim Tebow's throwing motion.
Yeah.
And that, he did.
That man has had a successful professional baseball career.
That's right.
Yeah.
He won an NFL playoff game.
He has the longest winning touchdown pass in NFL playoff history, I think.
It's like in overtime or something.
Something
yeah,
like that.
I think that's
he
right.
has
yeah.
some bullshit record in the NFL. Yes.
He's a first-round pick.
And he played for a bullshit MLB franchise.
Andy Dalton and Tim Tebow have the same number of playoff wins lifetime?
I don't know that Andy Dalton
has one.
Andy Dalton
has a playoff win?
I don't think Andy Dalton has one.
Well,
and,
that's okay.
And now he's a Bear.
He's not starting for anyone.
So now he's a
fine.
Bear, so it's
I'm
not.
Sorry, I had to look it up. I had to go see Bill C. With Brian Van Gorder, guys, we got to apologize. With Brian Van Gorder as DC, Bowling Green technically improved in 2019 from 128th to 124th in defensive S&P Plus.
Bonus! Give me that bonus!
Step by step. Yeah, Tim Tebow 1-1 in the playoffs. Andy Dalton 0-4.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Go Birds.
You know what? You know what would make football season more comfortable if you are a Bears fan?
Converting to a college sports fan.
No.
Converting
yeah.
to a college sports fan.
Because what do you need in death but a comfy shroud?
That's true.
Right. That's right.
Shit, this is how we should have let out of the mummy parade last week.
We're talking, of course, about homefieldapparel.com. Here's the thing. I think as society starts to open up again and as we start to, you know, come out of our homes and resume something like a normal life, this is our opportunity to fight back on the sartorial status quo. It wasn't okay to wear sweatshirts to weddings and to fancy dinners and to presidential inaugurations in the before times. But this is not the before times. It's the after times now. And if we band together and throw off the shackles of dress shirts and suit jackets and uncomfortable dresses and shit like that, and we just all go to our fancy events in our home field sweatshirts, we can change the course of history. But we have to do it together. The good news is home field is going to give you a bunch of options for your freedom armor, basically, as you ride into battle against the Brooks Brothers and Joseph A. Bankses of the world. We're talking about, you know, a ton of colleges. They've just announced they're coming out with something like 30 new items or 30 schools that are getting new items as well. Big News Saturday Season 2 is coming up where we're going to get a bunch more schools. So the options are almost limitless and somehow yet expanding, much like the universe. You can get in on the action with offer code FULLCAST. That gets you 20% off your first purchase. And more importantly, you become a soldier in the honorable war against shirts with collars. We don't need them anymore.
This is just the message that you want to send at weddings, too. Like, I struggle with my emotional health, but I got a job.
You know what? You know what I think when I see somebody wearing a shirt with a collar? That person's scared of vampires. Don't be scared of vampires. You're stronger than they are. Wear your home field crew neck and say, come at me, Dracula. I'll fuck you up.
You got the power of Zot on your side.
Say, Dracula,
Brian,
where's
Manny,
my
vampire hunter?
Dracula, where's my goddamn money? You
That's
goddamn
right.
nerd.
That's right.
Jason, you are a Moon Knight. Thank
Jason,
you.
Jason, Kirk, Dracula, Lone Shark.
That's my favorite. My favorite Moon Knight moment is when he sees Punisher, who's a loser. And
Punisher's a fucking dork.
Punisher's on the back of a bunch of trucks. What are you talking about?
But
what the fuck?
Just a gear hog. But Punisher goes, "Hey, Moon Knight, you still crazy?" And Moon Knight goes, "Yeah. Is your family still dead?" Don't play with Moon Knight. I love Moon Knight.
That reminds me of my favorite TikTok, which I will now post in the Discord.
Please do. I wanted to discuss one more act of petty.
It better not be Andy Dalton, because I got to close this tab.
No. Please. close the sarcophagus on the Andy Dalton mummy.
No, you're going to need it, Ryan.
Fire up that "Ooh, what you say" song.
God.
He's going to complete two passes. Bears fans are going to go, "Hey, we're back!" Then, yeah.
He's going to run 3 yards on first down. They're going to be like, "Look at him! Multi-threat!"
You know, he is a multi-threat, but perhaps not in the way
there are multiple threats on the field.
He's
Andy
an
Dalton.
Omnidirectional threat, yes. I think is what you mean.
He can fumble in multiple ways.
The weirdest beef I can remember is that between Dabo Swinney and Scott Schaefer, former coach of Syracuse. Because
soft nose Scott Schaefer.
Because I think it started over a 2-point conversion that Dabo called, because I guess Dabo was a little heated at Syracuse. Who gets mad? The answer to this is Dabo Swinney. Who gets mad at Syracuse is Dabo Swinney.
Wait, are you a Syracuse person?
It depends on the minute.
I never knew this about you.
It depends on the minute. But
ew, Scott Schaefer is currently defensive coordinator at Middle Tennessee State. Don't like that.
Yeah.
Don't like that at all.
Get your hands off my Blue Raiders.
Blech.
But he...
on the other hand, Tony Franklin probably makes him miserable.
But there was a tense handshake of sorts. And some yelling, and I believe at one point Scott Schaefer got all up in Dabo's face over this, to which I think it's very important we define what kind of fuck-based salutation you give Dabo. Dabo is clearly the kind of guy who could be given a collegial, fuck Dabo, because I'm pretty sure all coaches think this about each other. But he's not the guy that you get real heated at and be like, "Hey, man, fuck you!" That's not... You don't get that aggro.
Dabo goes, "Oh, my stars!"
Yeah, well, I bless you. Bless you. Mm. I disagree. Your team played hard.
I mean, he's not Hugh Freeze. He's not going to, like, text your boss after you say that shit. He might. I don't know.
I don't think he would. I think he'd just be like, "Hey, you go with God." As opposed to, like, Hugh Freeze, who's like, "Go with God and human resources, who I've CC'd on this prayer for your damnation and your destruction." Mm. Scott Schaefer was also the guy that said that Atlanta was soft-nosed when everybody got trapped on the roads there. Wonder
Actually, if he's a peach of a guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, by the way, did you ever see what happened to Georgia Tech and Syracuse at the next game?
No.
You should go see it.
Mm. I will look that up. See how that went for him. I'm guessing badly. Because I'm also guessing Syracuse didn't have much luck recruiting the Peach State after that.
What are they going to need that for?
For anybody. Yeah, well, Scott didn't need it. He was just fine. He's now defensive coordinator at Middle Tennessee State. The ideal career trajectory only if you live in my world of NCAA football, where the best job you can get is Middle Tennessee. Who gets mad at Dabo? Like, I get mad at Dabo, but I don't get, like, cussing mad at Dabo. It's just not... It's just... There's no point in it.
I just found a gif of Schaefer in this moment, and I forgot he doesn't just say "fuck you, Dabo." He says "fuck you, Dabo, you motherfucker," and then he goes "asshole." And it was a stop on fourth down when they were up 35-7 in the first half.
Sure.
In the first half. Anyway, in 2013, Scott Schaefer lost to Paul Johnson 56-0 in Atlanta, which I thought was delightful.
Soft-nosed, huh? Mm. Well. Just gonna go to my blacksmith shop and think about that for a while, Scott.
Do you think another Syracuse coach was like, God damn, man, it's just Syracuse football. Chill the fuck out.
It had to be.
Do we have two Syracuse guys on this call?
Somebody.
Jason, how do you say it?
Never thought about this. Syracuse, I guess.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
Syracuse. No. Yeah, it's terrible.
Dabo Sweeney, upon hearing about the outburst, responded, were we supposed to take a knee?
Man, y'all know how I feel about Dabo, but that's beautiful.
No, that's...
Oh, boy.
That is festive.
I am 100%.
Just one more thing he has in common with Steve Spurrier. I know a guy I know he loves.
How often does it come in this particular group of people who are not known for their social skills? Do you say, yeah, that coach, he really didn't have any social skills.